Good morning and welcome to church. My name is Pastor Leon McKenzie. Some call me Pastor Mac, and it is my honor to welcome you to worship this morning. This past week, I had the privilege of attending our diocese clergy retreat, and in his opening talk for the retreat, our bishop, Todd Hunter, gave special attention to the way the church should respond to the many hot-button issues of our day. What was especially significant for me in his talk was the fact that most of his direction was focused on how we, as the church, and particularly as the Churches for the Sake of Others diocese, are to respond via social media. Now, I don't have social media, and I haven't had it consistently at least for at least over 10 years. Personally, I've struggled to find it beneficial for my soul. However, his talk reminded me that I'm among the vast minority in the world that we live in. Pastor Drew and I were talking to our new intern, Jarrell, a few days ago, and were both struck by how this young man, married with a child on the way, could hardly think of a world where social media wasn't a means of doing life in community. While we both, me and Pastor Drew, wished it wasn't so. But again, Jarrell, our intern, is not the oddity. We are. And in this time of so many different movements and hot button issues, social media is the platform where nearly all opinions are shared, where all news breaks even, where wars and rumors of wars are first exposed and touted. After the talk, I was amazed to hear some of the other pastors at the clergy retreat speak about some pretty ugly infighting that was happening in their churches. You see, not on Sunday mornings, though. Everyone was on their best behavior on Sunday mornings. Not even on the streets after service. No catch me outside moments. Not a single verbal word or blow was exchanged. All of the vitriol, anger, maligning, and hurt happened on social media. And so often the conflicts arose from different perspectives on the hot-button issues. However, Bishop Todd surmised that the problem was not so much due to differing perspectives on the topics themselves, but on differing perspectives on what he called the ultimate things, meaning the things that truly matter, the eternal things. And I submit to you that this is the call for all of us to maintain a focus on ultimate things, eternal things. Now, I want you to know that if I'm talking about you this morning, I don't know I am because I don't have social media and nobody told me about anything that any of you've been posting. Amen? So if I step on your toes, just know that that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you because I am unaware. However, I do know that whether on social media or in real life, we all have the responsibility to respond to our culture and its hot button issues in ways that honor our God and loves our brothers and sisters. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at what the Apostle Paul says about how we can keep the main thing as the main thing in our lives and thereby love our God and brothers and sisters well. So we'll read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, and then we'll pray together and jump in. So beginning in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words, It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I do pray for your kindness in helping me through the power of Holy Spirit to proclaim your word, your truth, Lord, with conviction, with clarity, and with the effectual power to cause the hearers of this sermon and your word to be changed, to know you and love you and our brother and sister as we ought. All this I ask in Jesus' matchless name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so, as we speak about how we are to interact or engage with the hot button issues of our culture or just our culture as a whole, and we're going to speak about all these points today in terms of engagement, what should characterize our engagement with culture and the issues of our day. The first point of our engagement, the first thing that should characterize our engagement is the content or message of our engagement, and that is the gospel. Our message, the content of our engagement is the gospel. The ultimate thing that should inform how we engage with anything or anyone in this life is Jesus and his mission for the redemption and flourishing of all people through his life, death, and resurrection. You see, the content, the message, the focus of what we say, of our engagement with anyone as it pertains to this culture or perspectives or hot button issues needs to be the gospel. And the mission of the gospel is the redemption and flourishing of people. Now, 2 Timothy is the second letter that the Apostle Paul writes to his protege Timothy, and it is written sometime after that first letter. Now, if you remember, that first letter was written to give Timothy some fairly explicit direction on how to deal with the issues that plagued the church of Ephesus, where Timothy was serving while Paul continued on a missionary journey. This letter of 2 Timothy, however, was written under somewhat different circumstances for somewhat different purposes. Somewhere in between that letter and this one, Paul completed his missionary journey to Rome, which we learn about in the book of Acts, and is now imprisoned in Rome for refusing to stop preaching the gospel. Now, as I read through 2 Timothy for this sermon, something struck me differently for the first time. I'd read through the pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus several times, even studying them in college, doing a Greek project on them. But I'd never taken special notice of something that Paul says to Timothy very ecstatically, explicitly, something that he emphasizes to Timothy in this second letter. In chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says that he is in chains. And again, in our passage this morning, he says that he is being chained like a criminal. And every time I've read this in the past, I assumed that something like what I've heard in rap songs were occurring. You know, when the rapper says that he's in the chain gang or he's chained up, and when we hear this, we know that it's unlikely that the rapper is literally chained or has literally been chained for significant amounts of time. He's just speaking of some period of incarceration. Now, I have never been incarcerated by the grace of God, but from what I understand about the prison system here in America, it's not great, but it's not quite like this. It's not quite like being chained. All the time, at least. But you see, Paul here, he literally means, as he's writing to Timothy, that he is writing under the burden of actual chains and locks. He's either chained to a wall or chained to a guard who is tasked with keeping an eye on Paul day and night. Paul is literally in chains, literally wrapped up, locked up in chains because he refused to stop preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul is telling Timothy here in verses 8 and 9 of our passage is that the focus of his life remains the ultimate thing, the gospel. And that not even the chains of imprisonment have the power to alter his focus. He is dead set on the main thing, on the ultimate thing, and no matter the pain or mistreatment it causes him, he will not deviate from it. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes the reason we lose our cool, or the reason we try to return hurt for hurt, or operate in any way besides love towards others, is because we allow the pain or hurt of their perspective, or even the vitriol that they're spewing, to deter our attention from the main thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying in any way that we ought not speak about hot-button issues, or that we're not to engage with controversial or political topics, or that we're not to respond at all to hurtful things said or vitriol spewed. I think about what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. In summation, he prays that his followers would not be taken out of the world, but rather that we, as his followers, would not be like the rest of the world. Instead, that we would live in and engage this world as those who have been sanctified or set apart for God's special use. And this, through the truth, par excellence, capital T-R-U-T-H, truth, which is God's word. In other words, when we're engaging with the hot topics of our day, or sharing truth amidst the contradictions of our day, or seeking to dispel harmful lies that we encounter, we are called to do it differently than the rest of the world. We are called to engage in a way that maintains a focus on Jesus' main thing, which is love for and the redemption of those with whom we engage. So, before we post that response or speak our minds, we should ask ourselves, does this response sound like Jesus? Does it properly display Jesus' heart to love and redeem others? And the answer isn't always what you think it is. It's not always going to be what you think it is, because sometimes a rebuke is necessary. Other times, a soft answer is necessary. And other times, believe it or not, silence is necessary. The question is, which will display Christ best to the watching world? And this leads us to our second point, the point of our intention or motive. Our motive in engaging with all of these different issues and with our brothers and sisters, particularly who hold different perspectives or even hurtful perspectives, is just as important as the content, the message, the exact what we say. Our motive is just as important as the content. And so the second point is this: our motive is or should be the propagation or spread of the gospel, this message of love and redemption. It is important that the purpose of our engagement, the motive of our engagement, is the redemption and flourishing of others, and not just our own venting or anger, or worse yet, vengeance. In verses 9b, the second half of verse 9 through verse 10, Paul writes, "But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Put differently, Paul is saying that despite the suffering or wrong he's endured, his focus remains the spread of the gospel. When our intention is displaying the heart of Christ for the purpose of others flourishing in redemption, we'll be careful to engage others from a place of care and love, rather our own anger or even our exoneration. or self-justification. One of the things I've noticed in our culture is that a lot of people are just want to be angry for the sake of being angry. They don't really have a solution to what they're angry about, but they want everyone to know that they're angry, and they want everyone who isn't as angry as they are to feel bad about it. Nothing about this has any gospel intention or motivation. Reminds me of a book I recently finished reading by Dr. Martin Luther King entitled Why We Can't Wait. And interestingly enough, we learned that the opponents of Dr. King typically, and these are opponents largely from within the church, they typically had one of two problems with him or his motive, his way of going about bringing racial equality. It was either he was doing too much or he was doing too little. The truth, however, was that in all that he did, he sought to keep the main thing the main thing. So he didn't please either side, since one side was merely seeking passivity, doing nothing, and the other side sought vengeance and a vetting place for their anger. And both missed the mark. Listen to what he writes. The conservatives who say, let us not move so fast, and the extremists who say, let us go out and whip the world, would tell you that they are as far apart as the poles. But there is a striking parallel between the two. They accomplish nothing, for they do not reach the people who have a crying need to be free. Brothers and sisters, let us not be those who love to have opinions and who love to give everyone a piece of our minds. Instead, let us move in this world with gospel intention, with gospel motivation, with the goal ultimately of helping people know Jesus and live according to his love. As the Apostle Paul says in verse 10, that the elect, those called by God unto salvation, may obtain that salvation with eternal, everlasting, forever glory. May this be the motive of our engagement. Brothers and sisters, we have to remind ourselves, we have to remember that Jesus did not die for a hashtag. He did not die for an Instagram post or even a best-selling book. Jesus died to save souls. And if our hashtag or book or post doesn't have that ultimate goal in mind, then we are missing the point. Now, let me repeat this again. I'm not saying that we need to respond to every problem with Jesus died and rose. I'm not saying we need to pour Jesus juice on every problem. No. We should speak about the problems themselves and identify wrongdoing, injustice, and all falsehood as they themselves are offenses to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we need to make sure that our intention, our motivation for doing so, is God's glory and love for the brotherhood and not our own sounding board or clout chase. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So let us ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, do I love this person with whom I am engaging? Do I desire their flourishing and growth? Am I trying to help them, or am I just angry and want to put them in their place? And now our third point has to do with the manner of our engagement. How do we engage? And the answer is this. Point three. Our manner or means of engagement should build up instead of tear down, and it should honor God instead of shaming ourselves. We are to engage in ways that build others up rather than tear them down. Likewise, when we engage in this way, we will set ourselves up to be heard as sober and thoughtful people rather than to be ashamed as arrogant, angry people. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy to warn the people of God about quarreling, about words, or as the Message Bible puts it, to warn them about pious nitpicking, since it only serves to tear people down. Instead, we should speak to people in such a way that would please God and not lead to our own shame. How many times have we seen someone piously shouting their opinions or arguing with everyone? And the moment someone can find the slightest thing wrong with them or their argument, the slightest chink in their armor, people rush to bring it to the light in order to shame them. Let that not be us. I remember once when I was playing basketball in college, I was having a conversation with the best player on our team named Jay. He was our captain and the clear out front leader of the team, and I was the youngest player on the team by a couple of years, and I was also the only freshman. And the thing about me at this time was, as a young 18-year-old Christian and Bible student, I knew everything. And very often I came off as the person that you just couldn't tell anything to. On one occasion, I remember talking to Jay about something, and as I mentioned earlier, and I wasn't trying to be contentious at the time, but he thought that he'd caught me saying something wrong, and he jumped up. See there? That's your problem. You think you know everything, but you're wrong. And unfortunately, if I remember correctly, in this particular instance, Jay was mistaken about what he thought I said, but the point had already been proven. For so long, I sought to quarrel about words and to just be right, to the point that Jay was chomping at the bit for an opportunity to put me to shame. The Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to not place himself in such a position, to present the truth of God with such sobriety, gentleness, and love that he would not need to be ashamed. Yes, truth. Yes, preach the truth. Yes, rightly divide the word of God. But make sure that it comes along with godliness, with gentleness, with love, so as to not be ashamed. Brothers and sisters, the saying is very true. It's not only what you say, but very often how you say it. You can yell the truth at the top of your lungs all you want, but people are less likely to listen or hear you when you're making too much noise. I think that we would be surprised by how opponents to our faith and our perspectives would respond to us if we engage them in gentleness and love rather than in anger or argument. In his talk that I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, Bishop Todd spoke about how he and his team are often applauded about how they are able to engage with all of the hot button issues on social media without ever coming across as angry or vindictive. And Bishop Paul attributes this to painting a focus, to maintaining a focus on ultimate things. Or the main thing, which is Jesus and his gospel, to helping his team remain focused on the ultimate thing, Jesus. And you know what's so crazy, friends? The world may hate to hear us talk about the gospel and truth and godliness, but they sure do love it when they see it in action. In our lives, let us be the kind of people who engage culture head on. Let us not avoid it. Let's engage it head on, but in the full force of the love of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And praise God.